Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the new One More Tune podcast. My name's Helena Rafai.
I'm Ewan Davidson.
And I'm Mel Reeve.
We've each picked three songs that we're loving over the last month that we haven't listened to each other's picks, and you're going to hear our instant reactions.
Remember that you've got to subscribe to us on Apple Music or Acast, but you can also find us on your preferred podcast app, so do.
We're going to kick off with, now I'm still kind of finding out and finding my way as to how to pronounce the band name. So it could potentially be Clit Drop or Clat Drip, or I don't know what, but I'm going to go with Clit Drop because I quite like it. And this is called Like Father. Single. I don't know whether to go with Clit Drip, Clit Drop, Clat. I don't know. It's CLTDRP, and it's a debut album due for release on the 28th of August. They're from Brighton. It's their latest single, and there's a brutality that just kind of underpins their performance, which it just, I know that when I hopefully see them live, that is going to be augmented 10 times and just be like this kind of behemoth, and it's going to grab me and just ragdoll me. And they managed to just kind of maintain this strong line of sincerity, and it's like this electronica, there's guttural bass injections, and I just want to embrace everything of this and burn my bra. What did you guys think? Let's go with Ewan first.
Oh my giddy fuck. That's absolutely outstanding. That is just absolutely evil guitar tone. The vocals are absolutely brilliant. I just love everything about that. I want to know who produced that. I want to know what the production was like, what the recording was like. I just absolutely adore that. I am also annoyed because that's the kind of thing I'd find. Like I've been listening to lots of like mid-2000s screamo and like lots of Sovereign Lord stuff. I thought this would absolutely be like the kind of thing that's just dropped in my lap, and I'm annoyed that you found it. The much more experienced music journalist. I'm annoyed that you found it first.
I didn't find it. Someone sent it to me.
Well, I mean, okay. But equally, I'm... oh, my God. That is absolute energy distilled into 2.5 minutes of just sheer fucking... Oh, wow. Wow. That's maybe the most impactful track. I mean, I know we've been doing this a while, but that's maybe the most impactful track I've heard in years. I am in love with that.
Holy shit. Mel?
I don't know what to say because you've all expressed a similar level of astonishment and joy to what I'm feeling. I love it, obviously. I don't know how I'm going to sit and listen to anything else for the next however long because I just want to listen to that like again. I love how clean it is. Like, I'm very particular when I want to listen to something very loud and like cathartic and kind of angry. And you know what I mean? Like, I'm very particular about what things I enjoy on that spectrum. And I just love how tight and clean that was while also being like energetic and messy and powerful. Wow.
Everything
wow.
else is going to sound like Keen now. Everything else is going to sound like Keen. Now, I mean, I genuinely didn't mean to interrupt you, Mel. You can scold me for it afterwards. But like, just this absolute art of spacing in that song was just like those half second just pauses to draw your breath before them actually going into this, just like raising the bar and like adding this extra layer of chaos to. I just fucking love that. That was really, really good.
Well, that I think that says it all. Okay, so Ewan, you're next.
I mean, I thought this was quite a simple song originally, but that was evil. I can't believe you did that to me. I stand by this song, though, and I stand by this band. They're called The Beths, and this song is called Dying to Believe off their forthcoming new record.
It's such a fragile thing to try to support the weight of. It's not that I don't think that my point of view is valid. It's just that I can't stand the sound of my own patterns. We always look backwards from the way that I imagine. Go easy.
So yeah, that's Dying to Believe by the Beths from New Zealand, who I always think that Scotland has a kinship with because it's dwarfed by a big, much bigger, much more problematic country that it's nearly joined to, but not quite. They met at the University of Auckland while studying jazz. So there you go, they're four piece. And I got into them just before Future Me Hates Me came out in 2018. I just immediately fell in love with that record. Their three-part harmonies, just the sheer like diversity of melody and counter melody. I saw them in Broadcast touring that record. I think it might be the second time they toured the record, and just an unbelievably good live band. Just absolutely watertight, energetic, and for my money, the truest representation of what to aspire to in indie pop at the moment. So that one's off Jump Rope Gazers, which comes out the 10th of July on Car Park Records, and the best have been a long-term favourite of mine. What do you guys make of that?
I really like the Beths. I enjoy that previous record a lot, but it's not something I return to listen to, and I feel like this song really like steps up to the level where I know I'm going to come back and listen to it. Like before, I knew that I liked them, I knew that I enjoyed their music and wanted to listen to it, but I never found myself actually doing that very often. But yeah, there's like a warmth to this that makes me really happy, and reminds me of Martha, who I love as well. That kind of energy, the like fast guitars. I really, really like that. And yeah, I'm just really happy that there's like that extra kind of bite to the sound that I felt was maybe missing a little bit for me. And I also just really enjoy anytime someone kind of uses some kind of ambient sound in a song, like when the train announcement came in, I wasn't expecting that at all. It's really great.
So I shat myself when the train stuff started coming in because I was frantically looking at all parts of my equipment going, oh my God, what's happening? What am I listening to? But it adds this really lovely kind of texture to the recording. It just kind of gives you that, I don't know if you guys are the same, but there is obviously certain songs that you do listen to on your train journeys or your travels and so on that mm-hmm. remind you of certain times. And that I thought that was such a brilliant addition to the track. There's something melodically in that I think that I'm going to kind of maybe be humming for a few days, but I really, really enjoyed the song a lot.
Oh, that's a relief.
Notes this end.
In terms of production, I was just going to say as much as I like their last record, I think there's a real warmth and more of a gloss to this recording.
It sounds like they're just like a meter closer than they are on the other album. Like maybe that's a very like idiot's version of what's really happening, but it really just sounds, I think, like they're slightly closer.
Yeah, I mean, people play around with space and mics and in the room and stuff, but I think there's just, and I don't always say it's a more professional recording as like a superlative, because I like lo-fi, really dusty records, but equally, I think for a band like the Beths, it gets the best out of all parts. I think the production of that record really suits them. I'm excited to see what the whole, well, here, because you can't really see an album and appreciate it in the same way as if you listen to it, and I think listeners will agree with that. I'm excited for this album to come out, and I just think they're a great band. I definitely want to catch live if they're on tour. Would recommend with my whole head.
Okay, so the next song is Fen Lily with To Be a Woman Part 2. Came on alive. Tell me, do you like it like that?
you let him.
So that track came out on the 1st of May and follows a previous single called Hypochondriac. I can't find any information about if that's from an album, but I'm guessing, hopefully, maybe. So Fen Lily is from Bristol. Her first album, On Hold, is one of my favourites. It's something that I return to if I just want like quite a gentle, soothing listen, maybe if I'm, you know, trying to focus on a task, something like that. And I'm just really excited to hear how her sound has changed a little bit. You know, you've got those fuzzy guitars coming in on the final chorus of that track. Also kind of the shift of mood. So she describes this song as being raw and furious and coming from a place of frustration and pain born from a loss of control and a breach of trust. Which, you know, sounds like interesting subject matter. And I just really enjoy the kind of push and pull of that song. It builds and then it falls back down and never quite gets where I kind of want it to, but I really enjoy that. You know, she still keeps that softness and the kind of very gentle vocals, which I just really love. And also some more of that lovely ambient sound at the end, which, as Helena said, is just great texture and is something I really enjoy. What did you guys think?
I thought it was a real songwriting tour de force that I have to admit, like, I'm not a huge like lyrics guy. I come back to lyrics after a few listens. I don't really grasp lyrical content immediately as much as I do the overall sort of sonics of a song, which probably makes me a simpleton, and I realise that. But I think so many artists have tried to write about a feeling of panic and terror and done it in such a corny and practically unlistenable way, whereas that was incredibly well defined but also had this sort of stream of consciousness urgency to it, and yeah, I really, really enjoyed that. This has been an excellent podcast so far. Just each song's a banger, and yeah, I love the push and pull, as you said. Only in songwriting terms, it puts me in a sort of kind of Kim Deal-led sort of Pixie Songs kind of loud, quiet, loud sort of feel, which is always good because they're probably one of my favorite bands. I hadn't actually heard of Fen Lily before, and more fool me.
So for me, it's about the vocal, and I just think it's sublime. I think there's just such a richness there, and it's a kind of homogeny between the vocal and the kind of instrumental, that they just feel as one. And I really have a great deal of respect for the production aspects of songs that manage to do that, but not only that, just the performance. And I guess there's a program that everyone's talking about right now called Normal People that I binged within a day, and I was sobbing and relentlessly, and my other half was looking at me as if I was going through a breakdown. But it feels like it could be on that soundtrack, no question. So yeah, beautiful.
Can I just make a quick note as a part-time bassist?
What?
Really good bass tone on that record. It's really hard to do sort of loud bass well, and to have it come through an appropriate amount often gets lost in the mix, but I really love the bass in that record. I think it's produced absolutely wonderfully. So shout out
thanks for going off on such a fucking tangent, Ian.
You know what? Bassists need more credit. They're underrated in bands, but also vital.
No.
I come on here to give my honest, informed opinions, and yet I'm met with ridicule and with scorn. But I'm going to keep going because I love content.
Okay, well, let's move on with the content then. This is Genevieve Stokes and this is Running Away.
So conflicted, this shit doesn't make sense. I was lifted.
but there's nothing left to sorrow that I can't dissect. Your eyes were filled with emptiness. I wish that I could miss them less, but that's overdue. I never opened up what you gotta lose. I wanted you, I still want you bad. Something that I never would have. Couldn't see you coming. I was always running away. You hit me out of nowhere. Will you stay? And you're nothing but the things that I tell myself. Something's telling me that you know me well. But maybe I just see what I wanna see. The feeling's killing me. And I'm nothing but the things that I tell myself. I think I'm special just like everybody else. But something in the water has been tempting me. Be brutally honest, just like you promised. Are you running away? Be brutally honest, is this what we wanted? Or are we running away, away from love? I'm scared of love, away from love.
Singer-songwriter Genevieve Stokes, and this is the second time that I've kind of covered her via podcast, and I have said on the site, and I guess in my write-up of this, that, you know, age is but a number. But at 18 years, when you think that someone is creating, crafting music like this with a vocal like that, compared to some of the fucking dirge that I have to listen to, then I become I'm in awe, really. She's from Maine, and I just think that there's such an incredible maturity to what she does. It just feels effortless. And if she's doing this now, what is she going to be doing in like 5 years? Ruling the world. So yeah. Mel.
I love that. It never went where I thought it was going to. Like, you know, it opened and I thought, oh, great, this is very much my vibe, kind of like Daughter or Tom Boleyn, that kind of like soft singer-songwriter music. And then just kind of each section of the song did something slightly different, and not in a way that didn't, you know, make it feel super cohesive, but just very smart and interesting to listen to. Like, I kept picking out different bits and being like, oh, I wasn't expecting that, and really enjoying it. And yeah, those vocals, I like the kind of doubling on the vocals with the little background harmonies, give it that kind of like slightly spooky, ghostly vibe. And yeah, just really like that. It's really beautiful.
I just don't think there's that much there in that song. I think it reached this really notable kind of momentum in the halfway point, and then just kind of relied on this dynamic shift and just completely lost all cohesion for me. And I can appreciate songs that go in peaks and valleys, and we've already had a few that have played with that interesting dynamic shift, but it just didn't scratch an itch for me. I think the potential's there, and I think that, you know, there's kernels of a really, really incredible songwriter there, but just that track individually, I don't know if I'll be coming back to that one.
Sure. I mean, I think the argument there is that we obviously have our own opinion. And I mean, you listen to shite twee pop. So
I guess come that on. It's...
I was just waiting for that.
So I as much as I respect your opinion, I'm not going to pay any attention to that. No,
it's fine. It's not about picking sides, you know. It's just it's subjective. And, you know, I think the production, you know, added layers to... Well, you can talk about production.
Are you... Ewan!
Yeah.
Ewan, are you a producer? Are you a producer?
I've been involved in a production of music before, yes.
Wow, okay.
Is this the episode where it all falls apart?
No,
I think it will. I
don't think there's enough there in that song, and I think it's masked by really interesting production. When I just don't know, I would particularly enjoy that song, you know, live. I'm not saying that she's not good. I just that particular track just didn't do that much for me, I'm afraid.
Well, it's you next. So, what have you got for us?
I'm scared now. This is a Norwegian duo called Konradsen, and it's a song called Give It Back to the Feelings, which I hope has nothing to do with the band The Feeling, because I think we can universally agree that they suck.
Some say it's the rest of us, it's the rest of us who feel. I saved a seat for you, made a meal for two, my friend. It's been a while since I've heard from myself. I spent my days needing nobody else. But it isn't the same without the power. Nothing feels the same without the power. To the mothers who stayed through hell for you like a flower. And some say it's the rest of us, that it is all the rest of us who will pay. It's been a while since I've heard from myself. Spent my days needing nobody else. But it isn't the same without the power. Nothing feels the same without the power.
There you go, some gloomy pianos and strong vocal melodies at field recordings. So that has everything. It's Konradsen. They're the duo of vocalist and pianist Jenny Marie Sabel and multi-instrumentalist Eirik Vildegren. They met in high school and moved together to Oslo for university. They've added more members for their live band, and I imagine there are these very sort of intense kind of intimate concerts. I'd love to see them live. They're an example of this brittle kind of homespun energy that Scandinavian bands seem to have in abundance. I think they're a really talented bunch. And their new EP, Rodeo Number 5, came out on May the 1st, which implies that it's not the first rodeo, of course.
I like that. I really enjoyed the violin. I thought that was very fun, the way it like echoed the vocals. I thought the piano was very like warm and kind of enveloping. I could definitely imagine myself in like a Scandi drama, staring at some hills, listening to that, and
yes, yeah.
Solving crimes. So there you go.
It's a game of two halves for me. I'm kind of a big fan of vocals and so on. I think the production's great. I feel that maybe it was a bit too similar throughout dynamically, and I was maybe hoping for a bit more of a build towards and some kind of epic outro and layering and so on. The kind of classical musician in me is craving that.
No, I can totally see why you might have, yeah, the last song. I mean, I guess it's more sort of what you want out of these kind of songs. For me, it's about kind of sort of pulling punches.
Production.
Well, yeah, that and production. And how come, right, no one ever picks someone up when they say the production's good, but if I say, oh, I don't like the production on that, it's all, show me your certificates. Where's the justice?
I think it's because you're a man.
Yeah, oh my God, you and you're experiencing sexism. This is a joke, just in case anyone's wondering.
But no, I totally get what you mean in terms of, I like when there's something left up the musical sleeve, so to speak, on more occasions when I don't. But I can totally see why you would think this about this record and why I thought this about the last record. But I believe in the democracy of opinion, sharing our opinions in the marketplace of ideas. And I certainly won't be disparaging you for any negative comments that you make.
Well, it's the beauty of this podcast. I mean, we it would be a boring world if we all had the same opinion. So unlike the opening track of the podcast that was picked by me. So yes. Mel, you're next.
So this is Krakow Loves Adana with Young Again.
Clear night of four.
So the band formed in 2006 in Germany, and I just stumbled across this song. I sent it to one of my friends, and in that text I described it as sounding like Shakespeare's Sister meets The Cure meets The Drive soundtrack, which three of my favourite things ever. And yeah, I've just been coming back to it again and again to listen to it. I love that kind of guitar-driven electronica. I think it sounds like electro goth, if that was a thing. It might already be a thing. Maybe I've made it up. I don't know. The track is about nostalgia for youth and how that's kind of a mistake, because obviously you can never be young again. And I just love, obviously, that kind of lyrical component combined with that nostalgic but still like fresh sound. And yeah, I just think they're wonderful. I was really obsessed with the soundtrack to the movie Drive. I don't know if that's something you guys have heard.
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah, okay, good, cool. Yeah, and I think this would fit perfectly. So yeah, I'm a big fan. What do you think?
So I have got the Drive soundtrack on pink vinyl. And it is one of my most prized possessions. I've got an obsession with pink vinyl, actually.
Oh.
Did you say electro goth?
Yeah. Is that a thing already? Yeah, I guess, yeah.
But do you know, when I think of electro goth, I think of kind of like cyber goth, when they're in fluorescent elements and almost like, yeah, mad hair and stuff. But I get what you're saying. I think like you're reminded of bands like College and stuff like that, yeah. Which is great. Yeah, really lovely. Melodically kind of stands out for me, and there's kind of almost like this, you know, consistent melancholy, which I love. Love sad stuff, love the minor key, fuck the major. yeah, it's, yeah. I just would, again, something that I maybe would put on a soundtrack. And I always wanted to be a music supervisor, and that's a song that I would definitely kind of put to one side for someone.
I would like to join the Hire Helena as a soundtrack composer campaign. I think you'd be fucking great at that. It's amazing you've not done it before. Mel, the reference points, I was trying desperately to figure out what I thought that sounded like. And then as soon as you mentioned those reference points, I was like, yes, someone much, much more intelligent than me has done my job for me, as per usual. Yeah, I really loved it. Like Helena said, the melancholy of that. It's sort of got this kind of late 2000s, like, sort of dance floor sadness to it. It's the soundtrack to going out when something relatively horrible has happened and you're trying to dance the sad out. It's got this really haunting kind of darkness to it, but also this kind of like, and I don't know if I'm misreading this, but it's got this sort of, it's kind of scalding ironic optimism to it at certain points as well. And yeah, I wasn't originally taken by that, but the further the song went on, I just, there's so many elements of it that I really like. I think the guitars are fantastic on it. I love the driving bass throughout. I'm really, really impressed by that. I'll definitely be trying to keep up with the stuff that they're putting out. Very impressed.
I'm on to my last pick now. It's Richard Griffiths' Dream Away, and he's teamed up with rapper and multi-instrumentalist Lester Duval.
Slipping slow into the distance, trying to do the sums, but struggling to understand the difference. Maybe it's deficiency of wisdom, maybe it's a symptom of the system, maybe it's a schism, maybe there's a split in the division, maybe it's a sign of indecision, maybe it's a given, maybe it's a mark of my condition, maybe now all can be forgiven, maybe it's a midnight vision, magic of the mages, spell cast, now I'm stuck between the pages, fell fast through a hole in the ocean floor, I then ask my goals and what I motion for, what's this emotion called that I'm feeling, can't seem to get up, eyes glued to the ceiling, and the way I'm tongue-tied is revealing all the whispers in my head and I'm reeling.
Don't fight, it's past.
watch my mind wander while I'm stuck in the static. Thoughts thunder like bugs in the attic. I'm caught under piles of mistakes, trying to pick the best time to escape. And while the past is opaque, the present's been growing erratic. The future's still up for debate. It kinda seems cinematic, without plans of where I'm heading to next. I try and read what's hidden deep in the text before I take a new step. There's plenty more thoughts in my head if I'm spending more time in my bed. And while I'm running out of time for the living, I spare a little thought for the dead, and the path that they tread, and the blood that they bled, and every tear that they shed. Cause if I wanna get a little more crust from the bread, it's best to sharpen up the tools, gathering dust in the shed.
Multi-instrumentalist and classically trained pianist Richard Griffith, and he revealed more of a jazz side in that release, teaming up with producer and singer Lester Duval. It's just a really kind of smart listen for me, and I just love how kind of relaxed, laid back, and just intoxicating the whole production is. There's something so wonderfully personal about it, and you just feel that you're almost eavesdropping on what they're creating. I'm really proud of the music that has been on the website over the last week. I think we've kind of between us really revealed a lot of exceptional talent. And in a serious note, given that the times that we are in and the lockdown, I don't think music's ever been as kind of important. And for anyone that feels like there's been a lot of feedback through other projects that I've done of people feeling quite guilty about producing and releasing music, and I can only just say and stress that you are kind of making my life a lot easier, and I know that you're doing that for a lot of other people, and just keep creating what you're doing. So yeah, who is next?
Well, I mean, you can definitely bun a zoot to that one.
You really just brought that all the way down, didn't you? Helena just gave a beautiful speech. I was really thinking about that, taking that in, and then just had to shit on it.
That's my job. No, but joking apart, that hits a really, really sweet spot for me personally, for my taste in hip-hop, because it's not quite, it's got this sort of dustiness that I really like. I really like producers who just dig their crates and find really dusty soul samples, and there's almost kind of elements of that. There's elements of sort of cloud rap, the kind of stuff that I was into early 2010s, so like producers like Clams Casino. And then it also hits that kind of sweet kind of jazz hip-hop kind of spot as well, so like producers like Jazzport J and Q-Tip and that kind of thing. And I love the delivery on the vocals themselves. I think it's laid back, but there's a real crispness to the consonants of that. It keeps the sort of the flow kind of moving along in a really sort of half jaunty, half relaxed sort of way, which is hard. It's hard to do. I would never attempt it myself, and I think that's evidence enough that there's a God. Yeah, I thought that was extremely good. I've not really come across these artists before. You covered them, so I'm grateful that they're in my consciousness, you know.
And they're on our Best of April Spotify playlist as well.
I really enjoyed that. I'm looking at the artwork on my computer screen, and it's like an interpretation of like light hitting the water, which really is what that sounds like to me. I think the instrumentation sounds like it could maybe be on a Studio Ghibli film, which is indeed a compliment. But I also really love the lyrics and vocals, the way, you know, you've got that gorgeous platform, and then you can really hear what's being said, and I definitely kind of want to go back and make sure I'm hearing all those words, because every bit that I caught was really beautiful.
It's this kind of brand of like introspective lo-fi hip-hop to relax, study to. The next song I can disclose to you is a song that I've enjoyed recently. It's a song by an artist who was raised in Spain but was born in Cork, and it's called Big Pig. That's Big Pig with a song called Switch. That came out on the 31st of March, but it's part of a, as far as I can tell, that's part of a release that's going to come out later in the year. She's released EPs before with titles like Big Fan of the Sesh. So that's immediately endeared her to me. So it's Big Pig, two eyes in each word, and that's a name stolen from a pizza menu. She was born in Cork, but grew up in Spain and now lives in London, where she initially worked as a late night poker dealer. Which sounds grim. And primarily she's kind of known as more of a sort of a rapper and an MC. That song was probably, by her standards, quite restrained. But she combines these sort of skeletal guitar tones and really thick bass with like drum and bass, hip hop beats. She's part of a DIY collective in London called 9-8, which is fine. Definitely one for the future, and a really, really promising artist. Who I'm really, really excited about.
Oh man, so I lied. I told a lie. That's how good it was. I said that, you know, I wasn't quite done yet, because I actually skipped it back 30 seconds so I could listen to more. Magic. It taps into my love of drum and bass and breakbeat and like everything that fuels my loins, and I'm very excited, and I don't quite know what to say. I feel a bit giddy.
It's such a fucking huge chorus, isn't it? It's just, I think
insane.
I think fans of Grimes will get a big kick out of that. And as a big fan of Grimes, yeah. Mel, what do you see?
Yeah, okay. So I have an opinion that may be bad. That reminds me of the first time I heard Mitski, not in terms of like sound. Okay, bear with me, please. So not necessarily in terms of sound, but just like how it made me feel. And I don't know if that's just something about how a big bass guitar-y thing makes me feel. See, I can't even talk. But yeah, I really like that. It's very exciting. It makes me feel like almost nervous because I like it so much. Maybe I have a crush on this song. Who's to say? Yeah, all I've written down is bass exclamation mark, drums exclamation mark. So there you go.
I mean, that's kind of all you need. I as soon as I heard this song, I was completely in love. And I'm not one for like big drops because I think that was kind of ruined by like sort of what Americans did to dubstep. But also there's like that rare feeling of, especially in dance music, where if something's already good and then you feel a sort of a quote unquote drop coming, you just get that feeling in the pit of your stomach that's just so exciting. I can't talk enough about how great that record is and how good the choices have been today. Like, just sensationally good across the board.
Oh, pressure's on. It's been so good, but I think we're in for another good one. This is Kudu Blue with When the Night Is Over.
Open windows and open hearts, shadows moving in the dark. You know that I'll be there when the night is over. Broken bottles, built of dreams, energy bursting at the seams. You know that I'll be there when the night is over. You know you got my love. Show people about us. All I want is you here when the night is over. And I don't know my fortune. I couldn't tell you why. The lessons I've been learning can be hard at times. But I know that I'll be here when the night is over. When the night is over.
another Brighton-based group there, that's Kudu Blue, and it comes from their EP Healthy, which came out on April the 3rd. I mean, I just think that's pretty great. Obviously giving heavy 90s kind of garage vibes. What it makes me think of is if someone was making a film about the first time I get to go out after whenever that is possible, and I go to Flower One and then I come home, this is the song that I want playing in the montage of me in a cab, because it's just like the perfect end of night song. So there you go. Not to make it about me, but to make it about me. Yeah, it's got a kind of soothing and also exciting vibe, which I've said vibe so many times, but it's great. Yeah,
it is vibes though.
It is vibes.
I totally get what you're saying. It's definitely like a last song of the night. It's written perfectly to express that. It's got this sort of kind of melancholy in the chords, and just, oh my god, I miss clubs so much, man. Like, I didn't really go out that much in the last couple of years anyway, but I swear after this I have to go out every weekend now. I just thought that was excellent. And it definitely is indebted, and it's researched. Like, you know, when you get press releases through and it's about like, it's like these 18, 19 year olds going, oh yeah, it's so indebted to club culture. It's just, club culture is a really, really important thing to us when we're writing songs. And you know, they're gobshites. That was really, really researched. And the feel of it is probably the most impressive thing about that song. It's just, yeah. And also, obviously you can't hear our live reactions to the songs, but it's been said before that, like, you know, we are listening to these songs for the first time, respectively, and I have yelled something to the effect of, approval to each song, but I think that chorus was just, like, probably my sort of most gregarious reaction yet. And if anything, I'm glad you don't get to hear it, because it was ugly of me. But, yeah, that was great. And, again, I'm not just trying to, you know, butter you up, but you have also described and captured the vibe of the song absolutely perfectly with your description of it.
Again, this takes me back to uni. It's really interesting because you're both quite a bit younger than me, so it's quite interesting hearing your reactions to tracks like this that I've lived through, and I don't mean that in an arsehole way.
You were there,
but
man.
Yeah, I was. These songs kind of soundtracked some of the best times of my life, and it's really nice to kind of hear the resurgence and the derivatives coming through in a way that doesn't feel repetitive but refreshing. And I'm really quite excited about that. Yeah, magic. Ewan, you wanted to give a shout out to a few things just before we kind of say goodbye.
Yeah, just quickly, there's a few projects. We've obviously all had a horrible time with the coronavirus and how it's impacted our lives to different extents, but through that there's been some really, really amazing projects, and I just want to give a few of those a shout out. There's lots of really good social cause led football teams in Glasgow, but the first one I want to give a shout out to, the only one I want to give a shout out to, is an association called Africa on the Ball. They're currently trying to do between them collectively, they're trying to run the length between Glasgow and Zambia, which is where they do the majority of their fundraising for. It's involved in sports projects and I believe education and house and other sort of projects like that, just generally trying to improve the standard of living for impoverished people in Zambia. So they've got a crowdfunder on the go, and just search crowdfunder Africa on the Ball. The second is, I've got two charity compilations here that I want to shout out. The first is by Artsy Vice, who do this amazing series of videos of sort of really interesting quote-unquote DIY bands from around primarily the Central Belt. And they've got this compilation that's raising money for Ubuntu Women's Shelter in Glasgow. It's a suggested donation of £5, and with that you get amazing bands like Kaput, Gift Horse, Current Affairs, Wet Look, Callum Easter. There's some really, really good artists in there, and I'd recommend that. So that's Charity Compilation Volume 1 by Artsy Vice and X Chime Studio. which is a fantastic studio in Edinburgh, if you don't know it already. And the second one is one that's maybe closer to my heart. It's compiled by the amazing David Warden and Laurie Wilson from Aberdeen, who are good friends of mine. And they put together this compilation in aid of C-Fine, which is a food bank charity in Aberdeen. It's called Local Distances. And it features like the Sea Starry, who are one of the most underrated bands in Scotland, for my money, with a cover of Everybody Wants to Rule the World. You've got Tam, who is also known as Erskine Linus, who's a fantastic producer from Aberdeen. GW, the moniker of Gav Will, who you'll know from myriad amazing bands within Glasgow and Aberdeen. There's a bunch of other amazing bands as well. Trick Artista, who are the solo project of Ian Dallas, who's you might know from Carson Wells. There's Adaro Rankin and Richard Stratton song in there for fans of Wendell Borton and of Poor Things. But it's nothing to do with me. I had no involvement, was not invited to take part in that. But yeah, it's for a really fantastic cause. C-Fine are a charity I know relatively well, and I know them to do fantastic work. They're a food bank initiative, as I said, in Aberdeen. I also want to give a quick shout out to Hanukkah Skywalker, who's putting out a series of beat tapes. Search for that online, Hanukkah Skywalker, as you would expect it to be spelt. And also, I just want to give a quick shout out to my friend who's going through a bit of a rough time. I know he listens to his podcast. He's an incredibly voracious consumer of music, and also just a really fucking good person who does incredible stuff in the Inverness area. And that man's Kyle Walker. Wishing you all the best for the next few months, and much love. Life being as it is, I think it's, and as we've done with these great songs, it's good to point, signpost people in the direction of the good amongst all the horrible shit that's happening at the moment.
We will be back next week, I believe. As Ewan said at the start of the podcast, you can find us on Acast, Apple Music, and your obviously your preferred podcast app. And we really appreciate everyone that listens. And please stay safe and look after each other. Thank you and good night.